Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
You Cannot Say by Shao Evenjai. And the lyrics are written by our own Jay Hatter here on Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. My name is Sweet Pea, and you are listening to Sweet Discussions on Blog Talk Radio. We are part of All Poetry, one of the largest groups on the internet, the infamous internet, where everything you hear and everything you read is absolutely the truth. And inside of All Poetry is a little group called Team of Voices. And that group is up and running because of a beautiful lady named Deborah Lee. We'd like to thank her for her time, her effort, and everything she gives to us. Once again, I am Sweet Pea, and tonight on Sweet Discussions, we are going to talk about The Yellow Brick Road and Your Way Home. I've got some of my favorite people on the board. One of them is Pretty Bert, the girl that keeps me together, the woman of my dreams, and, of course, the organizer and the perfect producer, sidekick, and all that. So everybody say hello to Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello, and you are too kind, but just what I needed to hear today, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Ah, awesome. And then, of course, the people who I'm sharing this state with tonight, the wonderful and a beautiful dynamic duo, even though I don't know which parts are with them, Stephen and Kay, or Kay and Stephen, or just Kay, or just Stephen, say hello.
Hello.
I got all my parts.
I got all your parts.
I took both of them. Oh, hello. I'm so excited. I got them both. And that was perfect unison, too. It's like, hello. Almost like a band. Ah, yeah. That was great. I had a good time on your show last night, guys. Oh. Because you can't run Poetic Slice Life, and they have a great show. Great shows over there. All right, I've got one more. It's 1111111, so it's a surprise, but I believe it's Rock and Tour.
Yes, 19 years away.
It is Rock and Tour. My favorite man from the East Coast, somewhere up there where they talk kind of like dirty old gangsters and you're afraid of their guns. How are you up there?
Don't forget about it. I'm doing okay over here. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Oh, you're just amazing. So.
Forget about it.
So why we're doing, you know, the Yellow Brick Road, Find Your Way Home, any of those type of poetry, is because I'm here in Ohio, which I grew up in this state, which is kind of funny because I really didn't grow up in Ohio. I just call this home. I was one of those gypsy children who was military, and then my father was a minister, and we moved all kinds of places, and but Ohio is still kind of what I consider home because I think I went to, like, my high school here in Ohio, so I think that's where you kind of put a lot of your roots and your fun days in. And now I'm here, but I call Colorado home. And so I was wondering, you know, what is home? Where's your house? Where you live? What's it all about? Because I went to so many schools and everything, so it kind of like, boom. So why don't we discuss that? Shrek, did you live a lot of places, or have you always kind of been centered in one world and kind of like this has always been home?
Oh, for me, Brooklyn. I grew up in Brooklyn, so that's really home, even though I moved to Jersey when I got divorced because, you know, I couldn't stand the sight of Brooklyn anymore. But, I mean, I still have, you know, strong ties. I love this city because it never really sleeps like New York, and it's, you know, a hop, skip, and a jump from New York, but the public transportation system was fantastic, so you didn't really even have to get a driver's license when you were young. It was really easy to get around, and it didn't matter what time it was. Stuff stayed open all night long. They didn't roll up the sidewalks, so Brooklyn was exciting to grow up in. A lot of diners, just like Jersey, so, you know, Jersey wasn't too far off, you know. And it was a pretty clean state, so, you know, there wasn't too much, you know, stuff that stank, and the violence kind of hid itself, so it was fun. It was a fun childhood. I didn't have much to fear and much to worry about. You know, I grew up a couple blocks from a park and a bowling alley, so I had a colorful childhood. It was a lot of fun.
You know, this is the first time I think I've been to Ohio and I haven't bowled. Isn't that weird?
Did you italic?
Huh?
Did you italic?
I just haven't bowled. Stephen Kay, what about you? I know that, you know, in our, it's very odd and it's even possible that we have met in a former life, and I know Kay and I have actually roller skated at the same place as children. So has Ohio been always your kind of gig?
It's what it is. So I've got family here that keeps me here. If not, yeah, I'd be elsewhere.
Probably same here. But, yeah, growing up, pretty much two counties in Ohio, that's the furthest I ever moved.
Yeah, I've been.
One county south and then one county north, that's it.
Yeah, we've both been here all our life.
Yeah.
Cahogan, what other one?
Do you guys know Drew Carey?
Actually, I'm sitting right here. Sitting in the house I'm in right now, he's five blocks away. the house he lived in.
That's awesome.
Cool.
That is.
Because yeah, I'm in Parma Heights, and he's from Parma.
Yes.
So if you want to
yes,
stop
indeed.
Me, good luck. just so they know, people are going to be like going through windows, going, "Is she in that house? Is she in that house?" Yes, come find the sweetie.
Crazy.
Oh. Done. I've got something. Good evening, Hatter. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. Tired.
Good. I'm sorry, darling. Not much. We're talking about, you know, no place like home tonight.
Yeah.
So, were you a wanderer or did you stay at home?
I'm a wanderer.
Yeah, me too. Been a wanderer. Yeah, wander.
It's the wanderers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just watching those videos of the guys visiting abandoned places.
Yeah.
It's so spooky.
Well, it's spooky. Pretty Bird, are you a wanderer or have you always been in Florida?
I was born in Brooklyn, and we went back just about every summer, spent our summers between Brooklyn and this little island off the coast of Vieques, Puerto Rico, because that's where my grandfather was. So I have a lot of ties to those places. But I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, and Fort Lauderdale is, like, I miss those beaches. Those beaches are my home waters, and so that's where I'm comfortable. And I've been up here an hour north of Tampa for... about minus last year because they moved for a year, but we're back up here for what, 16 years, and the only time this actually felt like home was after my mom, because wherever she was home, and so Fort Lauderdale was always home, and it's different. I went down there for a year and it's just different. And then when we came back up this way, I was like, oh, home. And that was a very new experience for me. So I was just like, that's odd. But, you know, it happens. But Fort Lauderdale is my home waters, most definitely.
All right. Well, I know that Mr. Stephen goes to work very early in the morning. So hold on. So we are going to go ahead and throw Mr. Stephen up first. Throw him up, and then we're going to. I love that you have Picard up there. By the way, that's the greatest thing up there ever. And we're going. I can't stop laughing. Thank you.
Make it so.
my God. And we're going to go find Mr. Steven.
He's on the board.
He's gonna take me. Oh, is he? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get my – I'm on a laptop, which is not my little thing. And go ahead and read.
All right. I decided to bring something a little different because I write about Kay and me and her so often. So I went back to my roots and wrote kind of about my childhood home with this one. The Kincaid picture was my prompt for it, but I'm just remembering how the house used to look when I was little, and that's why it's titled Avocado Carpet and Civil War Elements. Easy chair wisdom and front porch conversations while village filtered lake breeze cools the snooted finger tea. Clanging pots and pans from kitchen cupboard memories bring cabbage roll hugs and mashed potato kisses. Dimpled ivory spheres dropping in emerald holes cause cathode ray couch naps while puppy fur braces neck against dream collisions. Upstairs toys missing tiny hands still occupy rooms at the end of gray mirror quarters. The open book behind the store says I'm home. End quote.
Oh, wow. I love easy chair wisdom. I love that line. And, of course, I love Puppy Fur Brace's neck. That's, like, one of my greatest feelings. I just love that feeling. And I love Upstairs Toys Missing Hands because I have this fascination about toys and personalization of them. And at End of Gray Matter's quarter, so that's fascinating about what we learn and all that. And an open book behind the snore says I'm home. This is just really pretty and nostalgic, and it has a lot of things that leaves not just childhood memories there, but everything that your adult mind would think about. It just kind of comes flushing into it as you walk into your childhood home. I think it's a really brilliant piece. Thank you. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
So I tend to love food. So that second verse, the clanging pots and pans from kitchen cupboard memories bring cabbage roll hugs and mashed potato kisses, and that's about the best description of that kitchen table lifestyle, that where all the good stuff happens, all the cooking, all the good conversations, all of that stuff, and that brought that right to the surface for me. This is wonderfully nostalgic and vivid, and there's so much affection in here that you just can't help but fall in love with it.
Oh yeah. I had the best cabbage soup here, by the way, because we can't get that in Colorado. I just want to say that. It was so good. And, Rack, your thoughts?
Okay. Yeah, I was drawn to the kitchen because everyone knows the kitchen is the heart of the home. So that verse tickled me to death. There's usually a story behind things like cabbage roll hugs and mashed potato kisses, how they get their nickname like that, you know. I love language like that. It's always intrigued me, the etymology of it, you know. It's so personal, you know, and it's relevant to your life and how you brought up, and it makes sense to you, and it's, you know, the beauty of it, I think. And this whole thing is beautiful like that, from the CRT that you mentioned, I think you said CRT, however you describe cathode ray. Yes, yeah, cathode ray is CRT. You mentioned the TV and everything else. I mean, falling asleep in front of the TV and the dog on your neck and things like that. It was just very warm and comforting and not a little chaotic, but not as unpleasant as some of my memories of my home in early childhood.
Yeah.
It's definitely
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I was done. Sorry.
Hatcher, my dear, your thoughts.
Yeah, I like the Upstairs Toys Missing Tiny Hands. I don't know if that's just time going as I grew up or sort of tragic.
Thank you.
Everyone say hello. Everyone say hi to Wayne.
Wayne?
Where are you going, Wayne?
Who knows?
Wayne's the part you say hi back.
Hello, hello, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, 1, 2, 3.
There he is.
There we go.
There he is.
I tried to get a thing.
And Kay, if you want to say something about your stud muffin husband's poem, we will throw you on the board next.
Well, yeah, this was actually very easy for me. I know that you're capturing a lot of this from your childhood home, because when your parents, for the longest time before they redecorated their house, they actually had Civil War wallpaper on their walls.
And the lamps, too.
And
one
the lamps.
One was a British soldier and the other was an American
soldier. Oh, interesting.
Soldier.
Yes. I like how you brought that in there, too. But then, yeah, your mother's cooking and cooking to support it.
I was wondering what happened to
you
lamps.
Know secrets.
I'm thinking of the leg from A Christmas Story.
I have a mini version of that leg lamp. It's 18 inches tall, and it comes out every Christmas.
Oh, my goodness.
That was so funny.
You guys are cracking up. Oh, my God. All right, Kay, if you're ready.
Yeah. I actually last night when I was looking at this, I figured, okay, I got words for this. So I call this Happy Hunting Ground, Cornerstones, Main Springs. Home wall shanty, a crash land and dwelling, of being the port in a storm. Homestead hideout, stomping grounds, neck of the woods, barking minuscule. Home sweet home haven, moonshot shades and sepia. Charcoal clicks of shoes. Cherry red, bleed in the glitter of wine-colored taps. Thrown to the other side of the room. Who needs those heels to get home? It's just a tap, you say. Floor through, bed and boards, soils, land holding. Candle boxes. She walked without stems. Found herself barefoot and pregnant. Shit shack home where heels need not apply. As she left the flying monkeys behind. Evil witches over the shoulder, far behind. Full-blooded and eye-colored as a lady always in sable and red. Barefoot. Pen poem.
You know, I tell you what, this one hits really close to home, just so that you know, especially as she left flying monkeys behind, evil witches over her shoulder, far behind, full-blooded and high-colored, is the lady always in sable red barefoot, because, man, I love this, oh. Charcoaling. I could just read this over and over again. Just FYI, I will not steal every line, but the idea of, you know, screw you. I don't care if I'm barefoot and pregnant without stems. I am still the damn rose, and you are all, I'm sorry, you left them in the shit shack. That's all I'm saying. I think this is bold, beautiful. It's who you, you know, it's who you are. It doesn't matter what people want to do. If they want to stand there and fill you with crap, you leave them in the hellhole that they want to call their home, and you start your own. And you bring that into the light. And you bring that your heart into it. And I think this is a brilliant way to say, just because you live there, it doesn't make it home, and you're on your way to make your own. And I think that's a beautiful message, Kay. I think it's gorgeous. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, I think that there is a wonderful interweaving of The Wizard of Oz and modern life, and the abstract way that you kind of lyrically dance through your verbiage, which is just lovely. It's always lovely. But little things stood out to me. First of all, I'm a big fan of The Wizard of Oz. So all the monkeys, all the this, all the that. It was perfect for me. Like, I'm just like, oh, look at this. Oh, look at that. But, you know, even with Toto's little minuscule barking dog, you know, that I loved the way you wrote those. It was just very, very indicative of the story and very, very relatable to now moments, to childhood moments, to all of these things. Like you make it, you like completely took it and like infused the K-ness. It was awesome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
Yeah. One of the things I love about Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, just because I'm going to go back to this, and that you portrayed here, is Dorothy was the very first female role model that was ever existed for girls, that was not saved by a prince, was not a whiny cry, oh, save me. She stood on her own. She saved men. Mm-hmm. She took over a man. And you're talking when it was written, and let alone when the movie came out, she was the female, not the I mean, she was a heroine. She wasn't one that needs to be saved. She saved them. And it's just that she was brave, did it raw, courageous, and she really was and still is that classic story of, you know, where a female lead, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be your heroine. And a lot of people don't really recognize, we don't talk about that, about what Dorothy really is to young girls. And I think she's one of the best heroines out there. And I would love to celebrate her more. And maybe that's a show I'll do later about really the impact that Dorothy had in American literature as far as being one of the first strong females. She's like the anti-Disney princess. But I see her in this poem. So, I'm sorry, Racking Tour, go ahead and make your comment, since otherwise I'll stay on this all night.
Well, it's your show. You have the right to stay on this all night, and
no.
This is certainly worthy of discussing for half an evening at least. I thought this has been fantastic. It's a kind of a story to me of you know, coming into your own, leaving home, and just, you know, establishing yourself. I heard, "I'll get you, my pretty," when you mentioned the Wicked Witch and everything. The way you wove that in was beautiful. The whole mixture between Wizard of Oz and real life, like Pretty Bird mentioned, is works so well in this. And the whole thing was definitely a very comforting and well-feeling piece, very endearing and sentimental to me.
Thank you.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yes, barefoot and pregnant, that's 3/4 of the women in Kentucky. And most of them are shoeshack homes. Posted how to stop. Yeah, this is Oz Goes to Kentucky. This is just like Oz Goes to Kentucky. Yeah. And is a trigger bleeding letter of wine, cut taps. I feel like I'm at home in this poem. It's a great, great poem, Greg Kay, and I love the wording. Oz Goes to Kentucky.
You're not in Kansas anymore.
Apparently you're in Kentucky.
Yeah, apparently you're in Kentucky. I've been there. He's not lying. Let's see. Chatter, your thoughts.
She got lucky with a bucket of water, right? I mean, I'm trying to. Now, when I was a kid, I was very, very little. When my mom and dad had a party, and we got all us kids got shoved in a room with black and white TV and lights off, and we're watching Wizard of Oz for the first time. I come screaming out of that bedroom when that monkeys tore that scarecrow apart, and I mean, it's scared me. So I get to where. They leave the traveling through the forest was the scary thing too. See, I relive it as a little kid. I don't like the Wizard of Oz.
I don't like the Wizard of Oz. I don't like that show. Speaking of the Wizard of Oz, he's on the phone. Everybody, welcome AP.
Hello, sweet. How are you?
Hello.
I'm doing well. The Wizard of Oz has to blow in and blow out, so we're going to throw him on the board.
We put it up on the board? It's only just finished, sweet. So it
of
was
course.
Finished a whole
hot off the presses
4 minutes ago. Okay, so you ready?
Of course I'm ready.
This is Somewhere. And it goes a little bit like this. None stare over if rain flows. Most ask why. While those gleams that you schemed of, streams really do run dry. One day I'll reach out from afar and wake up when your shrouds are far behind me. Where rubble fell like lemon drops lies above then windy stops. That's where you find me. Someday past their own flame go, their redemption lies within those scenes that you beamed out, dreams really still arise. One day I'll peek out from a star and wake up when those clouds do not remind me where doubles call in whiskey shots arising now the laughter hops. That's where you find me somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, where the dreams that I dare to dream really do apply. If happy little bluebirds fly beyond that rainbow, why, oh, why can I?
Oh, wow.
And pump.
Bravo. Oh, thank you. Anybody, oh, AP comes and serenades us. Now that's an evening. That was beautiful, and your lyrics are just absolutely so heartfelt and wonderful. I mean, yeah. One day I'll reach out from afar. That's just great lyrics. I'll wake up when those clouds do not remind me where doubles call and whiskey shots arise here now. The laughter hops, and that's where you'll find me. I love that stanza. For doubles call and whiskey shots. Do not remind me. That is brilliant, and I think it just fits so many things that can happen in someone's life, you know. What happens when you don't peek around and it's not there, and wow. That takes to my heart, yeah. All right, Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
Well, first of all, what a lovely serenade. I was just sitting here all swoony and lost in your vibrato, which was lovely. And then you get to these two verses, the one that starts, some dare past their own blame go where their redemption lies. And then those two verses, like, made me cry because, you know, it's all, you know, with those scenes that you beamed of dreams really still arise, like, you know. You know, don't be afraid of your own junk. Go out there and do the gosh darn thing because you can make it happen. And I don't know why, but it kind of just like got underneath my skin. So there you go. You know, one day I'll get through a show without some peers, you know, but obviously today's not that day.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
Thank you.
Yeah, me either, lovely. Pretty Bird.
Yeah.
And Kay, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, the singing was nice. The lyrics are just bringing what you brought in as an individual song, but also with your own added flair that adds life, but also gives a voice, as I see, of through the mire that there will be one that can be found beyond the rainbow. It's a wonderful addition that you brought for tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Stephen, your thoughts?
Yes, I like this a lot. I think it's a brilliant parody of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, AP. But I think to me that there's a bit of a confusing twist, as it seems like the lyrics speak of trying to move on from mistakes of the past, with even a little self-medication mixed in there towards the end. Yeah, I think this is powerful stuff. And we're going to have to hit the road. But I want to say one thing before we go, Sweet Pea, because you mentioned wondering what kind of impact Dorothy had. I think she had a hell of an impact. Just ask the Wicked Witch of East who she landed on. There you go.
All right. Well, before you go, give me the next couple of shows you got.
Oh, okay. Yeah, tomorrow night is our next show, 8 p.m. Eastern. Friday night, it's something different with requests. It's open brevity night, 57 words or less, please. And then our next show after that is Storyboards with Sky on Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. The last episode of Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Okay. Well, guys, have a great night. It was excellent having you here also.
You too.
All right, racking to your thoughts, please.
Ignore the poet behind the curtain. That was amazing. I enjoyed the whole thing. It was a wonderful parody of the song with your own version of the message. And, you know, obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, but damn it, they stole the whiskey line because I like that one best as well. I thought the whole thing was great, but, you know, my mind centered on that for some strange reason. I guess I want to go out and do a couple of shots with you, AP. So,
no, I think that's appreciated.
I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Vlad. The where doubles call and whiskey shots rise here now, laughter. I thought it was in laughter shots. It could be this original lyrics. You sung it real well, AP. It was really nice.
No, thank you. Thank you, Hatter. Cheers.
And Wayne.
Yes, wow, I've heard it somewhere before. I got it. What's that story? What's that story?
Yeah.
No, nothing. No, it doesn't ring a bell. No, seriously, this is a wonderful job you do with this. It's a great job, AP. I enjoyed it a whole lot. You did a great job singing it. I loved it.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. And everybody, welcome, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be on, my friends.
Awesome. All right. Well, AP, I don't know if you're going to stick around.
No, well, I'm gonna sort of drop and run and read and run and stuff and sing occasionally. So, right. I'm going to disappear last week. But thank you. That was lots of fun to write.
No,
actually. It was. This is good fun.
No, thank you very much. I always appreciate it. I really, really enjoy having you.
Okie dokie. Well, I'll try and do it a bit more often. I mean, I haven't been on in 9 days. It's a record for me. So I will attempt to make myself a little bit more present. So thank you.
Not a problem. I'm glad everything is, you know, you're feeling better and you're back on, darling. All right. I will talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thanks again, Squares. Talk soon. Okay, bye.
Talk soon. Bye. All right. Let's see. Wow, I got three that just bam, bam, bam dropped on me. All right, let's see. Pretty Bird, how about you go up? Sing your praises, darling.
Just warning you, it is dark and dreary, so it might take a turn.
All righty, then. We're going to take a turn to the dark side, everybody. Hold on to your hats, your hats and your asses, so let's go.
Okay, so I am on the board, and I have very black and white lines about, you know, honesty and lies of omission still being lies and all kinds of crap. So I love The Wizard of Oz, but this is, by any other name, Oz is still a liar. And it goes like this. Wretched, bile-infused smiles taint the world that smiles back. A broken mask, unattached to truth, still passes as reality. Better to believe a smile than the holes in the surface that let the smell waft into open air, surrounded by flowers, makes it beautiful. Perhaps it's the stench of truth rotting in a pool of lies that have taken over the clearest perception. That dot of purity bleeds insecurity. So the truth seems like the lie, beaten down by mob mentality, refusing to believe the stink smells bad because they can't see past the flowers. delusions of beauty equaling honesty break the truth into shards embedded into the jugular, revealing dissent for what it is. Bleeding out in a field of flowers, sweeping in the poppies where nobody notices that the beds are fed with the death of rotting dreams. Tainted smiles, the status quo, bleed me dry and honest plain, so I may live within that god of truth while floating in the pool of lies. End poem.
Ooh. Wow. I might have to send that to a poem to a few people I know. Hello. I'm sorry, did you say disillusioned? Not quite certain. Well, I didn't think it. I felt it really wasn't. It wasn't real to me. Oh, I'm sorry. It was very real to me. Guess my no. It wasn't just a matter of pretend. You don't understand my perception. No. Screw your perception. Yeah. Let's play that game. A lie is a lie is a lie. I love this. I love the idea that you really have to understand that there is no a whole lot of gray between what is and what isn't. You have to accept what you've done and kind of moved on. Wretched bile infused smiles. I really enjoy that. I love to do what I love to do, and a lot of you who have known me that kind of follow me understand this. So I'm going to do it to you, Pretty Bird. And it's go to the first stanza, or the first line of every stanza. Wretched bile infused smiles, better to believe a smile. Perhaps it's the stench of truth. So the truth seems like the lie. Delusions of beauty equaling honesty. Bleeding out in a field of flowers. Painted smiles, the status quo. Isn't that a poem in itself?
That kind of works, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. You got a little smile poem. Little smile poem in there. I really liked how, you know, the smiles kind of intertwined in all the first lines of your stanza. And I'm quite sure you didn't do it on purpose, but it really worked. I really liked it. Every once in a while, it really strikes me sometimes that, you know, poets do, you know, they have that creativity. They don't even realize it. But, yeah, the first line of every one of your stanzas is a poem within itself, and I really enjoyed that. So, Frank, your thoughts on that?
Can you give me, can I be the second one? My phone has been having problems. I'm trying to get back to the page. Can you?
Not a problem
at all.
Can
you do the second? I can do the second one. Thank you.
Not a problem. I will go ahead and go to Mr. Wayne.
I knew you'd say that. I don't
of
know, but I'm scared. what about Oz that could possibly be alive? Please don't bother me in the truth. Let me lie in my lie and live in the stench. I've been here too long. This is a great poem, but it's pretty, like you said, it's pretty on the dark side. And don't mess with my Wizard of Oz, please. I ain't no Wizard of Oz.
Oh, no.
Great poem. Great poem. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
All right. Beautiful comment. I like it because everyone should be afraid of Oz, but just a little because he's the greatest con man ever. And Frank, are you ready?
Yes. This is a poem referring to, you know, somewhat to Oz as in the Wizard of Oz. But I also understood this piece here as to be centered around the notion there of a liar, which I do see in these lines here. There is that deep connotation in reference to a liar. And I like some of these lines here. They're very explicit lines here. Delusions of beauty equaling honesty, break the truth into shards, embedded into the jugular, revealing the strength from what it is. They're very beautiful lines in this piece. Although it is dark, although it is haunting, although there is this a compelling element to this poem here, it does hold a truth to it, and that's a truth that we can value there because it's a truth that it carries its own weight and relevance. I thought it was a great thing.
Absolutely.
Thank you so
much. Your thought. I'm sorry.
And I apologize for that.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. I do apologize for that. I just have this little problems here, but I'm able to get back to it in time.
Hatter, your thoughts, darling.
Yeah, the line, perhaps it's the stench of truth rotting in a pool of lies that have taken over our closest perception, but not the purity, breeds the security. So the truth seems like the lie beaten down by a mob mentality. Refuses to believe, the stink smells bad. If you were to try to write something of our media and political environment nowadays, you couldn't do a better job with those two lines. Please stand it.
Oh, thank you. That's, you ain't wrong. That's true.
Yeah.
It is, you know, there's this whole kind of people want to believe what they want regardless, just because it's easier. They don't want to face things and are just not that girl, you know? It's like you kind of need the truth to know where you stand so you can make a decision that is based in you know, things that you know, not things that you hope to be true.
Yeah.
This is why other species eat their young. sorry. Because, man, I tell you what, sometimes out there, you know which ones are, yeah, sorry, it was just an odd statement came across in my little head. Raconteur.
That statement wasn't so odd. Have you read some of Wayne's poetry about barbecues?
I know, but
yum. I enjoyed this poem, Pretty Bird, so much. Your relationship with the truth just kind of defines who you are. I mean, I can't think of any time, you know, anyone mentions a half truth or you know, leaving something. I my mind immediately has to go to you for some reason. I don't know. That's you know, how I've come to know you and understand you or believe I understand you, like as best as anyone can. That isn't, you know, you. I love the language in this and the idea. Again, I can't help but keep going back to that, you know, your relationship with the truth and the way that it kind of defines who you are and how you think and you know, how you do things. I mean, you can't even ask you about, you know, what you thought of a poem or anything without you saying, do you really want to know? You know, I kind of get it. So, you know, I and that's one of the things that I really, really, really love about you. I mean, you're just phenomenal, and this is just a perfect example of how you think and, you know, your credo, as it were. It definitely defines to me you in a way that, you know, is so accurate that, you know, people don't realize. I really liked it a lot.
That's kind of wonderful. Thank you so much. That's amazing.
Hey, Pretty Bird.
Yes.
Did you really call in and act like it was a recording?
Yeah.
That was all Sweet Pea, yes.
Oh, that is so cool.
Oh, that was not by choice, not even a little bit. That was because I sent in a SoundCloud. She's like, no, I'm not playing it. You're going to read it. I'm not going to tell anybody. Go. And then put me on. Like, she just shoved me out in front of the crowd.
Yes,
I
did.
Under the bus.
I heard that, and I thought that was so cool. That was just so cool.
One is Sweet Pea. I was a nervous wreck.
You're lucky you didn't trip.
Yeah.
She did, man. She was smooth as butter.
Butter.
Smooth as
butter. Started the whole gosh darn thing.
There we go.
No, talent started the whole darn thing. Just so that you know.
Dumb.
Yeah, that was talent, and I had nothing to do with me. Let's see.
You recognize that?
Rackentor.
Oh, God. I did a song parody, nothing like Crocodile Dundee, so that's where you heard that. So it's Home Around the Holidays. It was, unfortunately, I didn't do an audio for it, but if one of you fine ladies would like to read it for me, it's to the tune of Jingle Bells, and I think you'll recognize the melody.
Oh, I don't sing, so it's all you there.
He said read. He said read. He said read. He said read.
This is true. He did say read. I have a parody to Jingle Bells. It's Hatter's favorite. Oh, good Lord. Are you saying you want me to read?
Yes, please.
I can read. I can read. I'm pretty good at that. I can read. I just have to grab my glasses. So.
I promise it won't trip you up.
All right. Oh, Lord. Hopefully it doesn't wake up my father. All right. It might scare him. There we go. Dum-da-dum. I like the Santa. Holiday themes. Opening cliche. Rhyming metaphor. New Year's Eve on its way. Can't take it no more. Oh, holiday blues. Holiday blues. Plague me all season long. I just want to sit on my ass and bitch how everything is going wrong. So many people I can't stand invading my once serene life, ruining all I've planned. Who the hell needs this strife? Oh, holiday blues, holiday blues. God help me, I've lost my shit. These people don't go to the hell home. Someone's liable to get the split. Oh, holiday blues, holiday blues. Leave me alone. I don't want to fight. My patience is lost and my pressure shot. So help me, I'm committing murder tonight. And boom.
I think I remember that Christmas.
Oh. I read for the bird, you read comments.
Well, not for nothing, but I couldn't even have pretended to sing better than she read that, Rack. That was awesome. That was really awesome. Okay, so I got the biggest kick out of God help me, I've lost my shit, because I say that so often, it's not even funny. It's like the best thing. I absolutely love the feel of this. This was hysterical, absolutely hysterical. You know, you want to relax. You want to, you know, moan and groan about your own stuff. And people will not climb out of your anus to leave you the heck alone. Absolutely hysterical. The one day you're going to have to sing this, because you know how best it goes. I'm just saying, it needs an audio. So, Sweet Pea, you read it. So what are your thoughts?
I think it's hilarious, just FYI. Reading it gave me a giggle. I just, you know, opening cliche, rhyming metaphor, New Year's on its way, can't take it no more. And, it's just invading my once serene life, ruining all I planned. Who the hell needs this strife? Yeah, sometimes I think between December 24th and January 10th, because my birthday's in there too, just like yours, Pretty Bird, I just need to go like to Caribbean and just be quiet. Just leave me alone.
I'm right there with you. We should plan that trip.
Yeah, we really should.
And
we should plan that trip.
I won't say no. And Wayne, so how do you like this Christmas?
Well, in fact, I like my Christmas just like he does. It's a bad Santa for sure. I stay at home at Christmas. I don't answer my phone. I don't even play my cat. I walk around saying Bah Humbug all day. Well, now Bah Humbug.
Bah Humbug.
This is right in my alley. I think it's a great poem, and you can pick my mood perfectly. So Bah Humbug on Christmas.
Bah Humbug on Christmas.
So Hatter, are you all bah humbug or what do you think of this poem?
Yeah, it reminds me of my yearly trip to my in-laws. I would walk in, the football game would go off, right, and driving me nuts. Then they'd cram 10 people around an 8-person table, and this is the time to talk about your life. Oh, my God.
I think that smile on your face.
So many people I can't stand.
Oh, God, I love family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
nobody knows when.
Go ahead. Nobody knows.
Yes,
nobody knows when to leave.
That's true. And half of them don't even bother to tell you they're going to be late to begin with, and they'd like need to make up for lost time. Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
But
this is an open book to them.
Right.
I got caught with a transistor radio earpiece on holiday.
I think it's funny. All I want to do is watch that football game. The second you get there, they turn it off.
As soon as I walked in, they turn it off. They knew I loved the football games on holiday.
Oh, do you see? There's that line. God help me. I lost my shit because that's what that feels like to me. Now,
It was on when I walked in. Why did you shut it off? Just because I walked
in? I'm telling you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Hello, this is a very dramatic piece here. I could see this in a sequel here just on the day. It almost reminds me of the Telltale Heart there by Paul here. I could just imagine there, our good friend there, Rack there, with his devious fingers, rubbing his fingers there and waiting as the policemen are there coming in and asking him. I could see him just this whole sequence here. So it's so visual. It was a hell of a piece here. Obviously, the pressure point got to a certain extent, the madness perhaps a little bit, but you just have to, or if it's that line that you've been saying there, you heard, God help me, I've lost my shit. Perhaps that got to the extreme there. But I did enjoy this piece, of course. It was a satire, but I mean, I understand that most of us do, you know, we do feel at times this type of pressure, unwelcome pressure, I would say. But it was a great piece there. And perhaps we'll hear this again on the 24th when Santa comes knocking on your door there, right? Unless we find you in the pages there committing the murder there.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see. I think we should do Morris.
Okay. Here we go. And he is on the board. And he comes with
grew
a sound
up in the south.
Oops,
go
sorry.
Ahead.
Grew up in
sorry,
the yeah. south. Moved on, spreading my wings. Flew like the wind to South Carolina, where magnolias bloom in the spring. Wore my Stetson in Texas, two-steppin' in San Antonio. Saloon, Marty first saw Felina, played with armadillos in Amarillo. Headed north to colder lands, chased our mobile home to Indiana. Watched Foyt, Rutherford, and Unser, but no southern draws like in Atlanta. Felt the pull toward Miami, money and riches overflowing. Sundays, cruise ship horns blare, naked sands, ocean winds blowing. 25 years in paradise, sounds of home began calling. I was missing all that red clay, thoughts of childhood were crawling. Many move south when aging. Have to be the oddball though. Time to move back home. Back to family land we go. Can't wait to relive my heritage. Speaking y'alls and yonders again. Hiking among pines and oaks. visiting friends from way back then. Real reason behind the move, not oaks, pines, or red clay, was to be back home with family. Family I missed while away.
Wow. I really like that. I like how he just goes through and he talks about where he went and why he went and you know, all the different places that he went. And yet he yearned to go back to his roots, back to that ground, just to, you know, put your feet in that soil and your hands in that soil. I thought that was really great. Because sometimes I love how he chases the RV through Indiana. I thought that was a great line. I thought that was kind of very well done. Let's see. First off, before we go anywhere, I want everybody to say hello to Deb.
Hey, hello.
Hey,
everyone.
Okay.
Hey. To see you.
I don't know if you got to hear Mr. Morrison. What'd you think? If you got to hear him.
I came in about halfway, and my goodness, between his words, the thoughts. And the background, like we were, look away, Dixieland, and there was something. I mean, wow, this is my new favorite of his. I was absolutely blown away by it. Wow, I don't even. 25 years in paradise. Sounds of home began calling. I was missing all the red clay. Thoughts of childhood were crawling. Sometimes, even if people don't live there anymore, that space in your mind calls you back. I think he did a brilliant, absolutely brilliant job with this one.
I agree. All right. And Wayne, your thoughts?
You know, home sweet home. He must be from Georgia. Because he made all his rounds kind of in a circle there, and he should have stopped at my place in Kentucky, and I'd show him what real home life was like. I'd give him some beans and cornbread and some onion, and we'd be happy. He never would leave there. So he's a very good poem, and he talks about being homesick more or less. And but he's been a lot of places and tried to do a lot of things, so can't complain too much. But I always, my home too, I go wherever I go, I always want to head back home up for a little while because I miss my home. So it's a good poem, and he did a good job with it.
Yeah. And Dragon Tour.
Yeah, I can imagine this must be very nostalgic for him. I like how he went so far as to play the different music for each place that he went through, kind of represent the journey that he went on. But, you know, when you have roots and you don't cut the roots, you know, you always grow back. So he kind of circled back and showed us that you know, he can't take it out of him, and he wound up right back where he started because it was ingrained in him. That's where his roots were. That's what he missed, you know. That's what was familiar. And this whole piece felt like familiar, like that. You know, I could see, you know, the attachment to where he's from and the feeling and desire to go back after spreading his wings and you know, traveling 25 years in paradise and missing all of that.
Cool. Yeah, and Pretty Bird.
So it's been about a minute since I've heard Mr. Morris read, and I had completely forgotten the magic of that voice, that drawl, that low, slow porch swing kind of voice. Like this was just a story of his life, like over some sweet tea on a hot summer day. And I love that it came with a soundtrack for every location, and all of them are spoken of with affection. But what a full circle, because according to his profile pic, he's a pilot, so he like literally flew everywhere, and that is just a wonderful countenance of a life well lived. And there's just this affection that's in his nostalgia that is so welcoming and warm. And that voice, my goodness.
Yeah. And Frank.
My thought of speech here was, of course, a very reminiscent of what once an attachment is to their home. I did enjoy the different play of music that is played. I think I noticed Gloria Stefan's music there in Miami. So he had, this was a fascinating soundtrack here, but I thought the piece was even more fascinating because he really gives us a profile here of all these places that he's been to and all these places that he experienced here. Yet at the same time, he hasn't forgotten that longing feeling of returning to his homeland, his home. And I think this poem here just has that affection here. It was a great piece here, and it just it made me think of my home as well. So it's a great job here.
Absolutely. And Hatter, you would give me the last. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Hatter,
I'd
you
like
want
to
give
to,
me the last
I'd like to
comment and then read?
Yeah, this is it. Okay. This is a. It's a Hallmark warm fuzzy, but I do like the way he sort of makes light of his heritage. Can't wait to relive my heritage, speaking yawls and yonders. Nice to have a
like
place called home.
The red clay.
That's a great comment.
That George sucks.
It's a great comment.
Oh, okay, I don't know if I got the prompt right or not, but I wrote
whenever you bring
to make
it right.
It home. Trying to make it home. It goes like this. When Alice found the golden brick, she wondered where it led. Voices from the trees she heard, and this is what they said. Is it necessary to make this trip? The government says to stay at home. Social distance is the way to be. You must always stand alone. Dorothy walked the yellow road and stopped where Alice stood. I'm going to see the wizard man and join me if you would. Alice asked if she knew that Wonderland is where they are and that she can walk along with her but not too very far. You can stay with me if you wish. In Wonderland there is no time. You can end your quest today, my dear. That's if you don't mind. So along the border of Wonderland, there is a golden highway, and the trees is young, and in the trees is young Dorothy and Alice. They're there today. Two lost souls with only one goal. Neither wants to be alone. So Dorothy now, with Alice somehow, are trying to make it home.
Oh my God! This is so fantastic, Hatter. Oh my
yeah.
God. So along the border of Wonderland, there's a golden highway, and in the tree is a young Dorothy with Alice. They're there today. Two lost souls with only one goal, neither wants to be alone. So Dorothy now with Alice somehow are trying to make it home. This just totally tugs at every heartstring I have. These two young girls, lonely, just begging, you know, to make it home. Holy crap, dude. This is just brilliant and beautiful and stunning and literally is the core of everything about isn't this what we want when we talk about going home is that's the place where we're welcomed without judgment, without anything. That's where we're supposed to not feel alone, where we're not supposed to feel empty. That's the place of love and acceptance. And that's what home is supposed to be like. And so many of us don't get that. We get that rejection, and we feel the most judged, and we feel the most unaccepted. And that's not the spoon, the golden spoon that we're fed in society and everything. But that's supposed to be our safety place. And, man, you nailed everything in this. I am just blown away by this. So before I continue and yammer, Deborah Lee, what do you think of this brilliance by our Hatter?
Yeah, I was just going to say I'm a little confused as to why one of the things in your author's notes says humor, because I
I found it more marshmallow than humor. It's an amazing poem, especially the thought of Smith and Phil looking to go anywhere to make it home, and it's just like Sweet said, it tugs at the heartstrings so hard. How dare you put the word humor down there? It's not funny. It's brilliant. I think this is actually my new favorite by you.
Frank, your thoughts, please.
Well, I thought this piece was very creative. I just love the elements there, the storyline there with Dorothy and Alice, classic characters there that we all know. I just love the way our good friend there had, you go beyond the rhyming scheme. I say that with Wayne as well, because I go into other textures and layers of the piece. And you read so much into it. He offers us insight here of what life, although these are fictional characters, but what he describes here is very much relatable in our society of today. And I just really like that notion there of two lost souls, if only one go, and the other wants to be alone. So they somehow are trying to make it home. That is a compelling element there of human society, of our humanity as well. You know, so you brought to the forefront there all of these great elements of what struggle, of what forlornness is, and what above all is unity there. So this was a very, very great piece here you wrote here. I know you only wrote it here a day ago, so I really did enjoy this piece here.
Thank you, Frank.
And Wayne, your thoughts.
Oh, you're welcome.
Sorry, Heather. And Wayne, your thoughts.
Yes. To have Dorothy and Alice together would be a great pair to hang out with, and live in a place called Wonderland of Oz. That'd be a place to live. Two hot ladies in paradise. Send me a ticket. I'm ready to move. This is a good point, Mary. Heather, I'm going with you. But I'm going to live.
Right on the border.
Thank you. Rock and Tour, your thoughts, please.
I thought this was brilliant. You leave this in the hands of a twisted mind like mine, and I could take this to be, the bricks, she's getting stoned, she's hearing voices, and she has a lesbian affair with Dorothy. I mean, wow.
No.
It totally wasn't your intention, but I love when you can take something that went in a completely different direction and twist it like
Sunday.
Because, you know. Yeah.
I'm moving.
I didn't say that.
Romantic, anything naughty. But yeah, the social commentary of COVID and social distancing and everything, and the idea of just two lonely friends hanging out comes through in this as well. You know, that's clearly what you meant. I just, you know, I like when, you know, the unintended subtext can be read into it and argued somewhat successfully that I could see that, but you know, I really don't. I mean, no, you're not twisted like that. So it isn't what comes to mind when I read your work. And you know, like Deb said, it is marshmallow, and you know, I think you mean satire instead of humor, because even though satire is a category of humor, as far as I'm concerned, I could definitely see that where you were going with this. And it's just brilliant. It really is.
Thank you, Rat. Yeah, I got edited down. There were some lines taken out that I thought was funny that weren't.
Wow. And Pretty Bird, we'd like to bring this back around to what it really means. I really would appreciate it.
Well, first, what a stroke of genius to meld these two fantastical worlds together, because, you know, for me, they're standalone stories. I would never think to blur those lines and mash them together. This is like a wonderful, whimsical mashup, and it's awesome. And you brought in, you know, modern day, you know, society, but just a touch, just enough to give it a little, and then you're going through, and it's there's a lot of of emotion here. Like, there's a lot of, well, I'm over here doing this. Yeah, but, you know, I'm over here doing that. And you're like, well, all right, well, let's go hang out. And that's how friendships are formed. And you know, despite the fact that, you know, this is not COVID-friendly, sometimes you bond where you bond, despite the recommended guidelines. And I think that this is truly, truly lovely. I have to say this.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, absolutely. Wow, that was a great poem. Everybody say good evening to Lady A.
Hey, Lady A.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, Lady.
How's it going?
It's going.
We just took a walk down the Yellow Brick Road.
Deb, are you in a hurry? Do you need to leave?
A little bit, yeah, please.
All right, then I'm going to throw you up, and then after Deb, I'm going to throw Frank up. So.
Hey, I do want to say, anybody that commented right after I read it, I got bumped off, and I was unable to hear it. And if I didn't say anything, it was because I wasn't online. Sorry about that.
Oh, I, like, cried for you, and you didn't hear me.
Oh. No, I didn't.
It lives on the podcast, which you can download.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
This is true.
And, of course, we all like to leave written comments for some people on the shows, so you don't have to worry, Hatter. I'm sure some people will come back and give you some love.
Yeah. Oh, my, you are fantastic, Reckontor. Just fantastic. Oh. All right. Whenever you are ready, my dear.
Which one did you pick? I'm trying to find the board. I lost it.
Oh.
Yeah, I see it on the board.
Oh, okay. I have a brevity that's more about home, or I have a longer one that's about Oz. Which one do you want to hear?
Well, we'll throw them both up there. Read your brevity first, and then read the other one. We'll just double dip you right away.
All right, cool. Double dip sounds fun. All right, coming to the board. Where did the board go? Okay, here's the short one. Called There's No Place Like It. Do you see the clip?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get home.
Yes.
Okay. Home interiors, decorations on the surfaces and walls, sconces with candle cups crafted in glass. Two maplewood hutches hold sculptures and seashells, figurines and gull feathers found in dune grass. Coffee perfumes the kitchen as the dog lays with Mama curled in a fur ball by the door panel glass. In the leather recliner, viewing the television, Daddy laughs at Jeannie and then passes gas. Trinket, now packed up in boxes, then split by the family. Once the parents pass, and pause.
That's,
can we not? Can we? Yeah. Can we not comment and just?
Yes.
I want to. Yeah, because I don't want to cry.
That's fine.
I just,
okay, that's fine. It's beautiful. We'll go on.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You don't want us to make any written comments as well?
You can write them,
well,
yeah,
no.
But if you start saying sweet stuff to me right now, I'll start crying.
No.
So,
I understand that. All right.
Cool. Okay. And this one is called In Search of the Wicked Witch's Broom. Now, this is the story sort of simplified. And remember, they actually consider this a children's story. And my disclaimer is I love The Wizard of Oz. I was just having fun with the poem. Here we go. In Search of the Wicked Witch's Broom. Lifted by tornado winds and tossed to a colored land, a girl crashes on the yellow road paved in yellow bricks. Squashing a green lady in striped socks and red shoes, then she and her dog are greeted by a pink fairy chick. She says she's the girl's godmother and then smiles, whispering to go see the wizard for a ride back home. Little people dance in a circle around her and the dog as she heads off to find the city with the Emerald Dome. three men join her, a lion, a scarecrow, and a tin man. And as footsteps hit the ground, the ruby heel clicks. In her travels, the apple tree branches slap her hand with bark-like fingers shaped from fruit tree sticks, all for the juicy red apple that the little girl picks. Inside the big wooden door, they talk to the wizard. With smoke and lights flashing, he read from a tome, sending them to the green lady's sisters for a broom. Lollipop Hill sings a song, and then they roam. But on the journey, they nap in the poppy fields planted by munchkins dressed like garden gnomes. Seeking the dark castle in the briar patch forest, four battle monkeys in shirts and hats that fly. A green-tinted bitch lights the scarecrow on fire, so the little girl tosses water on the burning guy, splashing it on the lady that yells, "I'm melting!" whimpering as she sinks into the floor to die. Monkeys now sing and then hand her the broom. Ding-dong, the bitch is dead is the song they croon. They skip down the bricks on the yellow road now to deliver the broom for the ride over the moon. Climbing in the basket for the ride, her dog jumps. Jumping out to catch him, she misses the balloon. Tapping Ruby's slipper, she says, "No place like home." Her eyelids lift and she sees black and white hues. Laying on her bed top in her bedroom at the farm, grounded for drinking all Annie M's booze. And
that is awesome. I will be grounded for drinking all Auntie M's booze, but I don't think so. Auntie M kind of stole some of mine. But I love all the – first, I love your title, FYI. Monkeys now sing and then hand her the broom. Ding-dong, the bitch is dead. It's the song that they croon. I love that. I love how much you have the monkeys in here and lollipops and everything you possibly think of that's Wizard of Oz. And obviously, you are a big fan of this. I love the imagery. I just love the cadence. I love everything about this. This is like a storytelling at its best. Sending them to the Green Lady's sister for a broom. The Lollipop Guild sings a song, and then they roam. But on the journey, they nap in the red poppy fields, planted by munchkins dressed like garden gnomes. I mean, this is just so brilliant and so much fun, and there are so many little things I want to cherry pick out of here. But if I do, Lady A would not be able to make a comment like she's going to right now.
I thought it was great, Deb. Do you want me to comment?
I do want you to comment.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I didn't think you could hear me.
We can hear you.
I thought it was a great piece. Deb, you always... bring it no matter what you write about, and I thought this was really terrific. And Wizard of Oz was one of those movies that I loved it. It had so many characters in it, and you really addressed all of them, I see. And it just was a beautiful piece that that ended with a great deal of humor, I thought, and you covered the film but and the story, but then, you know, laying in bed on her bed top in the bedroom, wait now, laying on her bed top in her bedroom at the farm, grounded for drinking all Auntie M's booze. I thought that you ended that really, really, really great. And the whole thing was great. The whole poem was a step back into the movie, and the story was really, really wonderful. The pink fairy chick I like well too.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
And let's see, Frank, your thoughts?
Yes, I'm going to suck in those thoughts there by Lady A. I thought the way you just incorporated the elements here of the storyline of the film there was very exquisite there. But I enjoyed the metaphors. You always bring us colors into your pieces here, and you this is no exception here. There's so much here, images here that just brought me this little particular scene that you have on the prompt there, as I can recall the film there. It did make me reminisce that particular scene. You just did an excellent job with this piece here. It's a brilliant narrative here, and I thought every one of these lines here, and I noticed the rhyming scheme there, very, very exquisite as well. This was very good writing. It's a very good piece and a very good narrative.
Thank you so much, Frank. Is somebody building a house in the background? Because, the background noise is horrendous.
Yeah, I hear some noise as well. I don't know.
Dang it. We lost Wayne.
I think it was Grandpa farting.
Oh, was he?
Everybody say hello to Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
Hey, Crystal.
Hey, Crystal.
Very upset we lost Wayne. But that's okay. We shall move on. Actually, Deb, if you got a minute, I'm going to read to Deb because of her special picture. If that's okay with you, Deb.
Sure.
Maybe. Maybe I'm going to read to you. Maybe.
Unless the flying
can try to read to you. No, it was actually something about being at home, but I got to go pull it up again because it's about my world and puppy dogs and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, my world, and I've always had a dog in my world, never not had a dog in my world. It's been my whole life I've owned a dog or had a dog. And so she brought something up to me, and I went, oh, you know, I think that should be something I talk about, and I'm not going to make her cry, but I wrote a poem a while ago, and I believe you've heard it. If not, I'd be surprised that you haven't, but it fits you. Or fit something for you tonight, so, but you're not allowed to cry. So this is Bob Barker in my life. Huh?
Do you mention Bob Barker?
No promises.
Okay, so it's up, and this is one of my favorite paintings also. So, I shall pee on their shoes. Cry not, my child, I am your steed. On their shoes I shall pee. Fools to think they master me. Hair of red and eyes of green. Forever bound a naughty teen. I will eat every pea of green to sleep on the bed next to thee. Wickedness runs not in thy veins. A sense of righteousness in thee I claim. A canine sense spread into our higher brains. When out of the corner thou shalt come, we shall run through the meadows in the sun, splashing around in the mud, back to the wall by the lovely one. Do not smile down at me. Yes, my pet, it sure was fun. End poem.
I actually remember this one. And I kept my promise. I'm not crying.
Good. Good.
Yeah. No, I still have this picture and the Lassie statue. Lassie already tugs at every single one of my heartstrings. And then you pull me in here and you have me smiling over, I shall pee. Fools to think they master me. Too priceless. I see why you went and pulled it out because of my author's notes.
Yes.
This is awesome, and I had to add it to my best of Sweet Pea file. I'm glad you went and got it, sweet. I love you too.
Good. So, yeah, I it's one of my favorites, and I had to write a poem about it just because, you know, that's me in the corner and my dog going, it's okay, we'll get him again. I just love it. So, and, you know,
when we even had that damn thick baseboard trim. And, my grandfather owned a twin house, and he lived on one side, and we lived on the other. And that spot in my brain, if you walk through there, you're in the living room. Right now, she's in the dining room. But that damn thick, tall
baseboard
trim that was almost as tall as the dog was everywhere. So it can't help but make me smile. And then add it with your words, and I needed that.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. All righty. Who's next? Who are we going to do? Let's see. What's on my board? What's on the board? What's on the board? Freebird, where are we at?
Let's see.
Mine was up next.
We have Lady A, and we have Frank, and we have Laughing Soul and Crystal, and I know that Wayne had to run, but did he even read yet?
I didn't think
he
was like right up there. I'm very upset. That's why I was upset we lost Wayne. He's like right there in my lineup.
So maybe we'll hold off on Wayne for a little bit just to see if he comes back. Because somebody came to his door, he said.
Yeah, so let's go with Frank and wait back for Wayne.
All right.
And you are on the board, Frank.
All right. I changed my original piece there because I noticed that we were doing some pieces there that have the Wizard of Oz and that type of element of fantasy. So I wrote a piece here that does have something to do with my home to a certain extent there. And it's a piece related here in the stories there of lore. It is called Sultana, and it goes like this. Rome, freely, and the maze of Pillar Sultana. The mosaic floors of a palace with ease, a breast-thick walls of Riyadh with plaster, and tiles written in Arabic calligraphy. In the courtyards of the romantic labyrinth, in glisten and hambras and cypress trees, where a foreign letters are hidden away, in the sturdy walls next to a lovely gallery. Onto the pavilion by a marble fountain, between rock decorative squinches, the air exuberates the morning green inside a palatial garden of thinly draperies. Lovers whispering innuendos with nigh, in the privacy of rows of ancient niches, new dance and fringe of silver coins, the parent pants of rose embroideries, shimmering hips of moving undulation, in the harmonies of the lute and cither, with your hands covered in the colour of the dark ink and the shade of henna, the enchantment of your eyelid scene, and it's a bright sparkle of a certain glitter in the lofty palace of divinity created by the strong breath of the Almighty Allah. The smell of incense bore wits of angels and a spry waft from the patios of mint that alert and enraptured me thereafter in an old secret that you will never tell. Your beautiful eyes, your beautiful onyx eyes glare seductively, left me with a sudden and unique glint of the mystic charms and lore of Al-Andalus, under the spell of a queen, behind the veil, in the form.
Wow. I like the flair of this, the exotic flair of this. I think it's very pretty. Shimmering hips of moving undulation with the harmonies of lute and zither. Either with your hands covered in the color of the dark ink and the shades of henna. First off, I find henna to be absolutely gorgeous and stunning. The enchantment of your eyelid scene. I mean, there's so much exotic, sensual seduction in this. It's just something you can kind of get your teeth in and imagine, and there's movement and sway, and I really enjoy that. I love dance poems because I always like how they move. I love movement. I love to dance within the movement of a dancing poem, and you do a very good job of that. It's absolutely gorgeous. Thank you, Frank. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sweet.
I think that you do a great job of filling our visual sense with all of the structure and the experience of this story with beautiful, beautiful verbiage, and you know, with the glitter and all of the lovers whispering innuendos. You really set a tone really well.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Freddie.
You're welcome.
And Crystal, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Sleepy already took my favorite lines because I literally was like, after you read them, I loved hearing the shade of Hannah as well. But I also do love that you do bring out, like, there's an array of colors. Like, but there's, like, so much, like, beauty and elegance and passion in the piece. But yet you also bring out these, like, beautiful colors, like, of describing her onyx eyes or just different colors here and there. Even talking about the dance of the silver coins. Just, like, there's hints of description there and imagery that's just bright and vibrant. And it also, like, you give a feel of to the place and everything. But I also love it underneath, though, that you have it written in Spanish, too, because I was looking over that as well. But
yeah.
I think this is just beautiful.
I appreciate that. And if I can say really quickly, this is a piece here, believe it or not, I got 3 golds for this, and I never intended that. It was supposed to be just one of these simple poems I wrote at the time.
Wow. And Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was very elegant and very classy, done in a way that only you can do. You have this romantic way about you when you write, and your descriptions are quite beautiful. The courtyards of the romantic labyrinth, you know, the glycine alhambras and cypress trees. And you just get a picture of exactly what you're talking about, the marble fountain, the wrought iron, and just, you know, the palatial garden and the draperies. Like, you have such descriptions in here that are so vivid and quite beautiful. And in a place where at one time it was beautiful, I think. And, you know, we've kind of gotten away from that culture by looking at the news, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just seemed like there was a day. And I mean, this is a comedic movie, but I remember Crosby and Hope doing all the road shows, the road movies, and they went and rode to Zanzibar. They went to all these different places, and you saw this kind of thing. And so I thought it was really quite beautiful.
I appreciate that. Just one quick thing. This was inspired by a legend there. If you've ever noticed that in Granada, there is the Alhambra. We say in Spanish, in English, it's the Alhambra. You can Google and you find the castle there, fortress, so be it. You will find that if you look at it, this was inspired by a story, a legend there, during the reign of the Moors there, the Arabs. So this is actually based on that legend there.
Oh, nice.
I'm sorry. What else do we have? Prever, do you want to go ahead and read Wayne's?
I can do that.
I've got to run now. Before you, I just
okay, thank
say,
you,
I've Frank. Got to run now, my friend. Take care, my friends. Have a good night, everyone. Stay safe.
Thank you for having us. Thanks for being here. I always appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Take care, my friend.
Thank you.
Sweet, I brought a poem, too. I don't know if you saw it or not, but I do have one in there as well.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay, Wayne is on the board. Let me know when you're ready.
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. This is Home Away From Home. I danced among the munchkins singing songs in a place afar that had so many wrongs. The dance I danced, I thought not to never stop with the love I had for the ones with lollipops. I love to laugh and drink with my friend Scarecrow and chase and play with the one they call Toto. Back home in Kansas, I love living next to them. Had cookouts with Dorothy, Uncle Henry, and Annie M. Remember the day the terrible wind blew? Was sleeping in the attic when the house flew. We landed in a strange place I never knew. Wasn't long till my love for munchkins grew. Met a lion. He was a coward, but I never knowed. We walked and talked along the yellow brick road. And got drunk, played cards with a rusty old tin man. In the end, it was only he that could stand. But I didn't stay long. The reason was because was told I was being thrown out by the Wizard of Oz. So I left to go back to the place I once known and lived happy in Kansas until I was grown. I love Wayne. You on mute, sweet?
Yes, I am. I love Wayne, and I am very, very sorry that I did not get to him. And, God, I feel like an awful host. That's just not acceptable. Wayne, this is a fabulous poem. I'm really kind of upset with myself right now. I love
Have a
munch.
Among the munchies. Feel better.
Singing songs. I like that he had a drink with the scarecrow. He was a coward, but I never know. We walked and talked along the yellow brick road. Of course, perfect rhyme, all of those things. And of course, I'm going to cry, but his freaking
author's notes.
Author's notes are killing me. Killing me tonight because I totally Wayne, I am overwhelmed by you. Thank you. All I can say is thank you. Can somebody else just go ahead and say something?
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read those author's notes because I don't think that everybody can see them. So it says, this is my trip to Oz. Not many ever knew I left. I would have stayed if the lion hadn't told on me. And if you look, you can see me in the picture because he put himself in the middle of where Oz is in that picture of the Wizard of Oz. This poem was written for a blog radio show hosted by Sweet Pea. I love that gal. She reminds me of Dorothy. But don't tell her I said that. And there are 192 words in this autobiography, so we're off to the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. And he's just lovely. I never know what he's going to bring. And I wouldn't even attempt to try to wane this up because I would just completely ruin it. But I love that he snuck out, then he got kicked out, and that he got told on by the lion. They were just drunk. Apparently, Oz is the place to be when you're on a bender. And, you know, between Deb, Dorothy, and this one, that's hysterical. So I absolutely love, love, love the way he spins humor into everything. He's just wonderfully whimsical. And Bracken Tour, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just concerned about his love of munchkins. I don't think they have Dunkin' Donuts in Oz. Other than that, I thought this was brilliant. I mean, you know, you gotta love Wayne, partying, drinking, playing cards. I was waiting for a joke about, you know, the rusty tin man, you know, and something about his hand or something, you know. I was waiting for that, but I really, really, you know, can't take anything away from his rights. And getting thrown out by the wizard was an absolute stroke of genius. I love that twist to the story that makes this one of my favorites by him. This really was an amazing trip. He even got Toto in there. He's playing games with Toto. So this is fantastic, Wayne. I really sorry you didn't get to read it, but I enjoyed the even the lollipop guilt. Oh man, you got it all in here, dude. Well written, well done.
And Crystal, what are your thoughts on Wayne's piece?
Oh gosh, I'm exactly like exactly what you said. Whenever you finished reading it, I was laughing along with you and thinking the same thing. Like, I love Wayne. I do, because he does write differently than humor, but a lot of times he will bring humor. It's like, if you want to read something, if you're in a bad mood, just read some of Wayne's poetry. But yeah, that I was just cracking up laughing. He was like, yeah, I went to, they're like, we had some drinks, and then I fell in love with some mumpkins, and I'm just dying over here laughing. Like, I was with Rack. I was like, yeah, I was like, I'm a little concerned about his love for munchkins too. Like, a little strange. But I just love it. It just takes us on this whole different journey and things. Like, suddenly he was having drinks with Dorothy, and then, oh gosh, everywhere it went, then they got thrown out of Oz. It's just freaking hilarious. I think he does perfect with humor, but I love this. It's like, it's so creative.
Yeah, absolutely. He's quite witty, that one. And Lady A, your thoughts on Wayne's Wonderful Wizard?
Well, I thought that this was really quite whimsical, like you said. It's just full of fantasy and fun. And I love the fact that he took his own picture and put it in the picture that he's got for his poem, where the Wizard of Oz would have been, and he has become the wizard. And I thought that was really, really a great touch on that. And he's very creative and talented, and he's blossoming since the first time I heard him to today. I feel like he's grown into this very special kind of poet. And he has a big heart, and he's able to write about his heart and the seriousness of love and all the rest. And then he's got this fantastic sense of humor along with his creativity, and it just makes for a great fun read or a cry, no matter, depends on who you're talking to.
All right, I think I'm back together. Thank you, Pretty Bird. that was rough. All right. I think we have Crystal and Lady A, right?
Uh-huh, and then Laughing Soul.
And then Laughing Soul. So why don't we go ahead and throw up Lady A. There's Lady A.
She's on the board.
Okay.
All righty.
So this is called Lights On and No One's Home. And it's from the quote from the Eagles song Desperado, freedom. Well, that's just some people talking. Your prison is walking through the world all alone. So here it goes. Lights on and no one's home. A treasure trove of possessions, priceless jewels become your obsession. Riches, cash, and cash to free yourself. And every day more on the shelf. Freedom to fly anywhere on the planet, Belize, Bali, Brazil, the whole gamut, cars, boats, planes for pocket money, and all the babes who call you honey. Maids, chefs, chauffeurs, and doormen, luxury penthouse, summer in the Hamptons, parties, dinners, ballroom dancing, couture gowns, Ellie Saab and Zach Posen. Home, alone, lights are the only welcome, designer down on the floor like jeans of denim. Empty is the cavernous house, lonely, rich, without a spouse. It doesn't matter if you can buy the world, no one to share it with, no one, scourged, a prison in our minds, captives despite riches, prisoner no more, when families were your niches, and Paul.
Wow, that's pretty much heavy. The title alone takes you to a place of despair. And then your words just kind of take you back. Kind of find where it, let's see, where is it at? Lights are the only welcome, designer gown on the floor like jeans of denim. Empty is the card, can't say the word, carvedness, car, yeah, whatever, sorry. House, lonely rich without a spouse. You know, it talks about, no, whatever, no matter what you have, you know, what are you if you don't have anyone? And it kind of goes to kind of Hatter's poem, too, is, you know, is a home, isn't that the place where you're supposed to be loved and respect and all of that, but so many of us go to that's the place where it's, you know, the place where it's not, there's no love, it's always about judgment and everything like that. So regardless of our riches or anything else we have, if we're a prisoner in our minds or a prisoner in our homes, what good is it? I really like the hauntingness of this, the depth of it, the depth and the breath. But again, kind of back, I know you weren't here, but we've had a couple of poems about, you know, you turn it around and go in, then I'll make my own home. If you can't be accepting of me, then I've got to take it and find my own happiness and be my own home. And it's been quite that ride tonight. It's kind of gone back and forth with that. What a beautiful share, Lady A. What a deep and beautiful share. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I love this notion. I love this. It's in some of my favorite songs, that whole you can have everything, but it's who you surround yourself that makes whatever it is, however little or however lot that you have, worth a damn. Like the story from Brandi Carlile, I Have Nothing, Whitney Houston, it's all about maybe not necessarily romantic love, but those people that you bond with that make your days feel like something more than just time. And I think that you depicted that very well. And you go through it where there's so many people that work or their goal is very specifically these tangible, superficial things that, you know, more is more. And you kind of lose sight of the fact that it's, you know, the people that are important. And I've known too many people that, you know, are all up in their years and wondering why, A, their kids hate them and don't know who their kids are or don't, you know, they have their people that they've paid to take care of them or be around them or whatnot that don't really, you know, care, and they get all embittered and it hurts. And it's like, you know, it takes a big heart to stay aware of what you need for your soul. And because it's so easy to get lost in all the things that people shove down our throats in the media and whatnot, that we need to make our lives easier or worth a damn or whatever it is. So you got to feed that soul, whether it's with people that you're bonded with or whatever it takes to make that soul happy. So I really enjoyed the message in that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, and you don't have to have a whole lot of money to have that kind of stuff happen to you. And this week for me has been very difficult because I've lost 4 family members.
Oh my God.
It's my middle daughter and her 3 children. And then 2 little great grandsons. So it's more than that. And a brand new baby. So, because they have been virtually poisoned by their mother, my daughter, in the most horrible way, and now I no longer have all of those
people in my life. And it is true that the only thing that matters in life is family. The only thing and people that matter are those that you love and love you back. And I'm reeling from all of this, and I hope it never, ever happens to you or anyone.
I'm sorry, Lady A.
Thanks.
I'm sorry. I really am. Crystal, your thoughts on the poem?
Yeah, it definitely, this poem often brings to mind money can't buy you happiness. Even though that is a very cliche quote that many people say, but it's absolutely true. This whole poem is just absolutely true. Like, what's the point of having so many things if at the end of the day, who do you have any to share with, or what's the point of having it? A thing instead of having a person or having more, I guess, purposeful things in your life. So I think you did really well to the song, and it just has a beautiful conveying message that I think so many people need to hear, even though they think they know it. Sometimes I don't think they actually know it.
No. All right. Rach, your thoughts?
No, I'm back.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, she thought I was gone. I was just saying I was back. I wasn't jumping in to talk over anyone. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Your thoughts on this, Rack?
Oh, I thought it tied in beautifully to your prompt. My circular logic is saying, you know, home is where the heart is, and the people you love are the ones you give your heart to. So, you know, this very much speaks to me of that thought. And, you know, the Eagles are a great band too. But, you know, your story about family is very unfortunately relatable. You know, when people talk about you behind your back and stuff like that, you know, that unfortunately happens a lot, especially when people get divorced and, you know, you're not around to defend yourself and whatnot. I don't know what your situation is, but, you know, I can relate to it for those reasons. So, you know, I feel for you. And,
right.
You know, I agree with you. Family is what's important.
That's great.
We're your AP family.
Gonna,
We won't send you letters at Christmas. Don't worry. Just like family. Just like family.
Yeah.
All right. And Pretty Bird, you want to throw up Crystal? And she will end our evening.
Two things. Number one, Wayne's back.
Wayne! Oh my God, then you can read your poem. Oh God, yes, please.
And
you have Laughing Soul.
And Laughing Soul
and
is
laughing
on
soul.
The board. And I just gave her the number because she was going to try to call in. So I'm hoping she squeezes in because I told her we only had a few minutes left.
Okay, well, she's got to get in fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I put Wayne on.
All right. Crystal, you mind if Wayne reads?
Go ahead.
Okay. Wayne. I'm a schmuck. Where is he?
Wayne, come off the mute button.
Okay. Here it is. It's called Home with the Home. I'll read it fast. It's called I Dance. It's
don't read
like
too fast because we won't understand yet.
Okay. I'll go medium fast. I danced among the munchkins singing songs. In a place afar that had so many wrongs. The dance I danced, I thought not to never stop, with love I had for the ones with lollipop. I loved to laugh and drink with my friend Scarecrow, and chase and play with the one they called Toto. Back home in Kansas, I loved to living next to them, had cookouts with Dorothy, Uncle Henry, and Auntie M. Remember the day we had the terrible wind blew. I was sleeping in an attic when the house flew. We lived in a strange place I never knew. It wasn't long till my love for the munchkins grew. Made a line, he was a coward, but I never knowed. We walked and talked along the Yellow Brick Road. He got drunk and played cards with a rusty old tin man. And in the end, he was the only one to stand. But I didn't stay long, the reason just because. I was told I was being thrown out of by the Wizard of Oz. So I left to go back to the place I once known and lived happy in Kansas until I was grown. Ian, see, quick one.
Love the picture of you in there. Your author's notes made me cry, just FYI. Totally made me bawl like a baby. Don't do that again. Thank you very, very much. Pre-Bird, please tell him how brilliant he is.
Oh, Wayne. Okay, so we weren't sure if you were coming back, so I did you a horrible disservice by reading this in my voice because I cannot Wayne it up.
That's okay. You're better than I am.
No. Nobody can do Wayne like you do Wayne because, you know, you're Wayne. But I love the whole Oz, you know, is where you go when you're on a bender. This is like Party Central, and that you got kicked out was just a touch of stinking brilliance. I absolutely, absolutely love this. The very first thing I said after I read it was, I love Wayne because you get me every time, just every single time. So it was fabulous. I'm so glad that we got to hear it in your voice.
Yeah, I got Dorothy. Send me out.
Yeah. I love it. It was hilarious.
Hey, Dorothy. Oh, hey, Dorothy.
Oh, my God. Crystal, your thoughts?
Yeah, when they read it earlier, me and Rack were talking about, we were a little concerned about your in love for Munchkins. I think that this is just great. Both me and Pretty Bird are also saying how much that we love your humor and everything like that. And because I always say, like, if you're feeling down, just read a Wayne poem, like, and normally will like cheer you right up. Because you always do have that good humor to every single poem you have. And and this one, I just love it because I'm just bursting out laughing at the love for Munchkins and sort of getting kicked out of Oz and then drinking with a scarecrow and hanging out with Dorothy. Like, suddenly it just took a whole different turn. it's absolutely great.
Let's hear your voice again.
I know, it's been a while.
It has been. My crystal hope.
And Lady A.
Yes.
Your thoughts
on Wayne's poem? Yeah, Wayne, I think you're so creative, and you have far-reaching talent. And I'm glad that in the last few months, as I said at least three times before, that you're tapping into that other side of yourself. But I love your humor, and I love this poem because it's whimsical and it's fun. And when I saw your picture up in that picture frame, I thought, how creative is that? And you know, you just inspire and you endear us to you. I love your stuff. You're a great guy.
Thank you. Somebody's got to be silly.
That's right. All right, then we are ready for Rack and Tour. You get to comment.
Oh, you know, this is actually based on Wayne's visit to New York and getting thrown out of a little bar called Over the Rainbow in the East Village.
Oh my God!
This way, did you go to New York and meet Rack?
Yeah, in the gay bar.
I'm goofing, Lady A. I thought that was a brilliant twist.
Lady,
getting
I'll
thrown.
Tell you what, end the over later. It's an American thing.
Okay.
Yeah, this is brilliant, Wayne. I mean, it's got your fingerprints all over it. Getting thrown out of Oz was sheer genius. I just, you know, I really love this whole thing. Great job.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Reckon True. All right, let's go to the next poem. I want to hear this poem.
It's Crystal's turn.
And she's on the board.
All right, I got it. Yeah, I decided to write a new form, which I don't know how well I did, but this is a form that I found and I got creative today. So this is called Yellow Brick Road, of course. And here we go. I find myself in the path of the yellow brick road. I linger on the long way instead of the quick road.
crimson roses, blossom of cherry and clove, I ponder on the thought of the homesick road. Sugar sunlight radiates on ruby red slippers, a place my face glows on the candlestick road. Life is a journey of dreams on a thin line. I walk on wobbly tight ropes on a thick road. Hope impeding, and there's no place like home. I find myself at the path of a big risk road. End poem.
Wow. I don't know what the exact form is, but I'll tell you what, I like the rhyme, I like the cadence, and I like the words. Okay. What's the form called?
I bet that's
Giselle. I think that's how it's pronounced, I suppose. I think it's pronounced Giselle. I don't know. I didn't look that part up, how to pronounce it. I just looked up how to do it.
Because I can't pronounce anything, so you're good. No, I really like it. I like sugar sunlight radiates on my ruby red slippers. A place my face glows on Candlestick Road. And I like how you call the Yellow Brick Road a Candlestick Road. I really like this. And again, I like your hope within this. And, you know, you've got a great sense of, you know, what's going to happen. And I linger on the long way and where you're going and what's going to happen. Again, I say I'm repeating myself. But it's such a short poem with such a big message. And you're Crystal, and I love the way you bring things to me. And I like your dark side, too, so I can't say you're always light. But you've got the light going for me right now, and I kind of need it. So thank you. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I think that this is lovely. It is. It's a nice form. Looking up the pronunciation, it looks to be called guzzle. I would have been gazal, but it apparently it's a guzzle.
Really?
Yeah, weird, right? Because no. But anyway, there's that. Learn something new every day. But this was really, really lovely. You know, I love that how each couplet kind of has its own idea, and it kind of lingers in your mind. You know, you find yourself at that path and you linger on the long way, you know, where when you have the option to do the shortcuts and not have to do a whole heck of a lot to get to where you're going, that's, you know, the easy way is the easy way is the easy way. And but there was something really, really, I keep on using the word whimsical today, probably because everything is Oz, but it really is. It reminds me of those strolls you take just because back in the days when we were younger and there's like no rush to get anywhere and there's no time constraints and you're just doing your day, whatever may come. And so you linger on that path instead of dashing around. And I love the way that kind of starts this whole thing out. And you take the time to look at and smell those roses, the flowers, and take it all in, like the artwork that nature is. And I really love that this is a journey of dreams. And it's just, you know, with the wobbly tight ropes and everything else, you've got all the things in there, but the focus is on all the good things, on taking time to notice them, to recognize them too. Because, you know, I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, and I have driven by Ocean Mile 1.5 million times. But if you're getting here and getting there and getting here and getting there, it's really hard to stop for a second and look at the vastness of that water when you're late, you're late, you're late, you're late, and then you have that whole Alice in Wonderland white rabbit going, and this is the opposite of that. It is that slow stroll in spite of the time, you know? So I really love the feel of that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Wayne.
Yes. You're traveling all the roads of life, but I think you should stay clear of the road, the big risky road, because I've been down that road, and it's not much fun. It's a big risk. And it's a great little poem, and I'll send you a map to Wayne's Road, and that's a really risky road.
Mm.
So you can come see me. Great poem.
Thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome.
And Lady A.
Well, I thought this was lovely, and I thought that you know, the couplets. I like the style of what you that you've decided to write in, and I love that. I ponder on the thought of the homesick road. I thought that was really great. Like each couplet has its own name, other than the Yellow Brick Road, and I liked what you did with this. And again, the last, hope impeding in there's no place like home, I find myself at the path of the big risk road. You know, it's just you have something to say in each couplet, and I thought that was really quite creative in itself. So you did a really good job on this.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Raconteur.
Yeah, I spent my youth working in New York, so it's the opposite of it's not the journey, it's the destination. You rush to get where you have to go, and then if you're of a mind, you actually find the time to kind of slow down and wind down. So this is kind of a reminder to enjoy that journey because you're missing out on a lot. This is a beautiful form that lends itself to the storytelling that you did to remind us of that, and I really liked it.
Thank you, Rat. Excellent. And Prebert, you want to read the last poem of the night then?
Sure. I feel bad because Laughing Soul wanted to, she said she was going to try to read, but she got here like 5 minutes. She was on the board 5 minutes before and she didn't get to squeeze in. So I feel bad that she didn't like kind of make it last minute into the thing because it would have been wonderful to hear her read. But I will do my best.
Oh, it would have been.
Yeah. So this is my dream house, and I'm kind of loving the cottage, ain't going to lie. Okay. And it goes like this. Away from the hustle of haunting eyes, nestled amidst nature's paradise, where the moon and the ocean romanticize, I dream of a home I dream of love abode of you and me, neath the canopy of azure skies, a starlit inglenook on winter nights, soulful music of winds and tides, I dream of a home I dream, a love abode of you and me. I know I'd love a Labrador besides, birds, glowworms, and colorful butterflies. Oh, every summer fragrance of jasmine I fantasize, a dream home, a home I dream, a love abode of you and me. And poem.
Wow. You read it. Give me your intake on that.
Oh, I love this. I love this. I love this. I love the image. I love that she wants a dog. I love how it's where the moon and the ocean romanticize because that is my happy place. And I love how she dreams of these wonderful things, of the flowers. And she mentioned jasmine, and I'm probably going to cry because night-blooming jasmines especially were my mom's favorite. You know, oh, every summer fragrance of jasmine I fantasize. And it's just those beautiful little touches of what makes a house a home. And it's always filled with that love, a home of love and a love abode. And I think that that is just brilliantly beautiful.
I agree. I think it's like the almost perfect description of, good Lord, I forgot the phrase. Oh, Lord. I'm sorry. It was just on the tip of my tongue. Home sweet home. That was it is. Yeah, it's like that's the description of this. It just talks about, you know, everything that when you envision that saying, I think this is the poem for it. Home sweet home. It has all the metaphors and a dream home, the soulful music of words and ties, the dog, and just the metaphors and the imagery she uses, it's like that's what the words, behind the words home sweet home. If all those words tumbled out, I think this is what it would say. I truly did enjoy that. And Lady A, your thoughts?
I have to agree with what you just said, and I think that, just hang on a second. You know what I think? I think it's really wonderful that that we can dream about anything, really, away from the hustle and the haunting of eyes nestled amidst nature's paradise, where the moon and the ocean romanticize. I dream of a home I dream, a love abode of you and me. I thought that was a great opening. Just the whole poem was looking at that the picture she chose, that cottage-like, I don't know if she lives in England or if she lives in Europe somewhere, or if she's from here, but that's the feel I got. It was like, you know, an Irish cottage or the English countryside. And I just thought it was really a beautiful a description of her dream place and the summer fragrances of jasmine, and just the whole thing of the repetition of the last line as well, a love abode of you and me. Just a really sweet sentiment. It was lovely.
Absolutely. And Crystal, your thoughts?
Crystal dropped.
Oh, okay. And then Rack and Tor, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is beautifully romantic and relatable. You know, like Pretty Bird said, it kind of summarizes everything that makes up a beautiful home. And the Labrador was a nice little touch, too. Wherever she's from, I think it might actually be India, is just, you know, the thought is universal, and this proves it, you know. You know, people that, you know, far and wide have the same dreams and desires, and you know, it comes back to that all the time, and, you know, that's what made Sweet Pea's topic so brilliant. I enjoyed it a lot.
All right, you guys, once again, what an amazing night of poetry. What an amazing night of discussion.
I want to comment.
Oh, wait, I'm so sorry. What is wrong with me? God.
Oh, poor Vinny.
I got to comment to her. I love the way she speaks of you and me and you. So she's the love of mine, and I love her and with her birds and glowworms and colorful butterflies. And we both like to fantasize. Yeah. A great little poem. I think the school house was made for me and you. Great little poem. Hi, I think so.
Yeah. Oh, you're so good, Wayne. You're so beautiful. You're such a beautiful man. If anybody tells you different, you tell them to come and talk to Sweet Pea, because she'll get real sour on him real fast. Say something bad about my Wayne. I'll get on him.
I'll have to put on that time to do it.
Beat on him. All right, everybody, again, just amazing poetry, amazing company. Guys are always just either you make me just full of emotion, and that's what I love about all of you. You break my heart, you make me laugh, you just do everything in between. Guys are great people, and I love and care about each and every one of you. Have a beautiful, beautiful day tomorrow. And I will talk to you all soon.
Buzz.
Go get something to eat, sweet.
I know. I'll talk to you all soon. Take care.
Good night, sweet.
We'll
love
talk
you.
Soon.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Good night.
Bye.
Good night.